Hello and welcome to the VIP Vegas podcast. Woo, 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 woo.
Come on.
I go by the name of Stephen James and this is my good friend.
Brunty Vegas.
Big Brunty Vegas in the house. What are we saying, brother?
Brunty, it'll be weekly episodes. It's going to be all Vegas content related. Obviously, we'll be getting guests on as well. So the weekly episodes will be all about the tips and trends, hottest stuff that's going on in Vegas, things about the business that we'll get into later. And then when we get guests on, it can be anything from their business and background, the crazy stories they have in Vegas.
Yeah.
And everything Vegas material.
Everything Vegas related, basically, guys. So if there's any clients out there or anyone that's got some good stories that they want to share with us, you don't necessarily have to give your name. You can keep yourself anonymous.
Save your marriage.
But yeah, save your marriage. But yeah, more the merrier. I think that'll probably be the next episode or an episode after. We'll have like a section within that where we can talk about, you know, Vegas, wild Vegas, hangover sort of stories.
Yeah. I know you have a few because I have some.
So. No comment. Nah, we will. We'll go through them as well, 100%. And also, yeah, we're going to do some giveaways. We've got a few things to showcase later that we've got.
So make sure you stick around to the end for those.
Yeah, it's also going to be like a holiday giveaway to Vegas as well for some subscribers. So don't forget to like and subscribe, as you say. I know it's a cliche and everyone says it, but I really appreciate it, guys. Yeah.
Make sure if you're listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube to hit that notification bell so you can always listen to the next Vegas
podcast. Yeah, that's it. And stay up to date with what's going on and what's new. That's another topic, obviously, we'll get later on in the pod about what's new and, you know, improved in Vegas over the last few years.
Indeed, so, mate. Yeah, I'll touch on that. But yeah, starting off then, VIP Vegas podcast, why is it here? What are we looking to do with it?
Well, it was your idea, bro. Like, you approached me with it. So like, I was hoping for a bit of guidance from you. But yeah. But no, I know, I get what you mean. I think it's time, you know, like we've had a lot of people like approach us on social media, you know, saying about you guys should do a podcast or you should be active, showing your face on social media. So here we are. I think it's a great place to start and a great way to interact with our clients and potential clients moving forward. It's a great way to sort of get feedback and stuff as well, and also deliver value to our clients, you know, for any trips they've got coming up.
It's also the biggest media at the minute in order to make your business grow. And it's just the next step in evolution of the way that things are portrayed online these days.
Yeah, totally agree. But I mean, at the same time, it is like, you do see a lot of podcasts come like popping up now. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, this one's not going to be, you know, one of those flyby ones. I'm hoping that we can, you know, this is the first episode, series one, episode one, whatever you want to call it. So I'm hoping between me and you, bro, we can make this a lasting thing. You get what I'm saying?
That's what I hope for, brother. But yeah, it's going to be exciting due to the fact that we already have a business, which Steve will touch on later. The fact that we know that there's people that don't really know what our business is about and what we do. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you'd be able to see a little bit more into our lives and the reason of why we're doing this podcast and some of the behind the scenes stuff. And yeah, the amazing journey of how we met and why we're doing this together. So
yeah, I think like as well, like when you say about the behind the scenes and how we met, I'm hoping if it goes well and you guys, you know, we get subscribers, we get views and stuff, you know, the content will get better. We can do some pods possibly on the Vegas Strip this year. And you know, get some maybe people that are just off the strip, like they can come and join us as well. So who knows which direction it's going to go. Obviously at the moment we're in a studio.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, it could go in any direction. And that's another thing, we'd appreciate the feedback from you guys. If you could let us know, you know, what you want to see or what you want to hear or what topics you want us to brush on. It's like more of a, I know obviously it's me and you hosting it, but it's more of like a community-based podcast where we bring other people involved and obviously with the guests as well. So.
Oh, 100%.
But yeah, mate. So, yeah, where should we start? I suppose we have to give people a bit of background of who we are and what we're about. To
I'll dive into.
otherwise they're probably watching, thinking like, all right, who VIP Vegas, guys? But who are these guys? Yeah, exactly. So
I'll start then. So a little bit of a background for myself, and in fact, I'll ask you if you can remember how we met and how we got involved in this business together. But
I sort of do remember, Brunty, man. That was off the back of you being a Vegas super fan. That's what Brunty, he's like very much knows everything about Vegas, more so than me. I set the business up like over a decade ago now. So, you know, I'm still finding what's new and what's been improved and what's not. But Brunty seems to be, you know what I mean, finger properly on the pulse of the whole dynamic and how it's changing in Vegas, a lot more so than me.
It's something I do in my spare time. So I figured when... I'll give a little bit of the background of the story of how we met and why I got involved with the business with you.
Yeah.
But I was already looking at Vegas content anyway. I was always looking at the current trends. The city is always changing. What's going on? And a lot of the time people think, oh, you just go to Vegas, you have one big blowout and then that's it. No. You catch the Vegas bug. Once you catch that Vegas
bug. It's a real thing, ladies and gentlemen. Once you pop, you can't stop. Hobby. It's a little bit like Pringles, yeah.
Yeah. So throughout looking at all of this, I was wondering, well, I have all this knowledge and information. How on earth can I monetize it?
Yeah.
Can't compete with the people that are out there doing all of these YouTube videos and do you know what I mean? Because I'm on this side of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started researching different areas and I found concierge and I thought, you know what? I'm a bit of a partier. I do like to go to a couple of these events.
Yeah.
How on earth can you monetize that? Noticed a couple of the businesses that are around, found your one being the number one out there, shot you an Instagram
DM.
Well,
there you go. I didn't want to say it myself, guys, but nah, we've done well. We, you know, it's gone from strength to strength over the years. So yeah, I mean, we do put number one VIP concierge for groups visiting from the UK for a reason. Hence why you found us,
yeah.
I suppose, on the social
and
media.
You were so nice to me and obviously I put in the effort to come and drive down to see you and we physically met up and you were like, yeah, I like your vibe. I like your energy.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do together. That was back in 2021. So this was around the pandemic era.
Yeah, yeah. I do remember, Brunty, man. Like it was yesterday, really.
Yeah, mate.
And but I always give people time. Like if, you know, if you've made the effort to reach out and, you know, a lot of people haven't got the courage to reach out to people these days. Like they have a good idea or, you know, and the thing is with social media, you can pretty much reach out to anyone.
Yeah.
So I just respected the fact that you'd done that. And then obviously gave you the time of day. And then now here we are. So 44 years later, we're on a podcast, starting a new journey with the business and obviously with our friendship. So
of course, yeah. I was just laughing in my head because I was thinking, I think I keep finding ways to show you how much I'm a Vegas enthusiast as well.
No.
I mean, people are going to be looking around this background and they're going to be thinking, you know, does he have Vegas everything?
You actually
I've even got
do.
It on my shoes.
Yeah.
I don't know if the camera will pick that up.
I thought I was bad having it on my number plate, as in like my number plate. But then you've got your Vegas number plate as well now. So
it's gotta be
done. It's a bit crazy, but you guys will find out. And obviously, if you've not been to Vegas before, then I mean, this is the place to be. This is the podcast to follow.
We're going to cover a lot of things for you. And like I said, there are people out there in America currently giving you stuff on YouTube, but I thought from a podcast perspective and in terms of the business that we run.
Yeah.
In fact, let's touch into that. So VIP Vegas UK.
Yeah.
Your business. Give us a little bit of a background. How did you get that started? Why did you choose Vegas?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been a bit of a journey. I'm like, I used to going way back. I'm talking probably 20 years ago, how I started. I started holding small little parties in my local area, a place called Hitchin in Hertfordshire. For those that don't know, but yeah. So I started holding some parties there and I built up a couple of brands. So one of them was called Sexy Glam. I had like the All Bashment Affair. We had the I Love Garage. We Love R&B. So we had quite a few. And then as time went on, I, you know, ventured out of Hitchin, started doing stuff in Essex, Cambridge, London. And then eventually went over to Ibiza. I lost my driver's license, actually. That was the reason why I went there, because I thought there's no point me being in England and doing these events without a driving license.
Right.
So I actually started working with Ocean Beach at the time, but Beach now. And I was on their PR team for the first year. And to be honest, I only lasted a few days with them guys. Nothing to do with them. It was because it just wasn't right for me at the time. Like where I was used to running my own parties and stuff like that, I was sort of my own boss and I only had me to answer to. So taking instruction from other people and other teams, it just didn't work right for me at the time. So I ended up, I still did the season, the full season, even though I was only with Ocean Beach for literally a couple of days. And I remember to get me through, I was selling like basically the equivalent to vape pens, what they are now, wow. But these were like sort of electronic cigarettes, as they were called back in the day.
What year is that roughly?
That was got to be about 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, vape was not even a thing back then.
It weren't a thing, bro. But like, it's mad to see how it's blown up now.
Yeah.
By the way, we're not promoting vapes or whatever. Like, it's just, yeah. At the time, that was my way of survival. Do you get what I'm saying?
You've got to play and adapt to the industry, right?
Yeah. So, well, it weren't even the industry. It was just circumstance. Like, for me, it was like, it was do or die, basically, because where I wasn't working with Ocean Beach anymore, it was finding a way to subsidize, like, living out there for the season whilst I was trying to promote my own events and get my own events there. But obviously on that occasion, it was a little bit late in the season to start trying to get nights going and, you know, book venues and stuff like that and get sort of like a residency.
Cool.
So yeah, my main source of income when I was there was the electronic pens. And then fast forward, I came back to the UK, carried on holding my events, started doing some residencies. There was one I went back to Hitchin at the Ivory.
You went from Ibiza back to sunny England.
Yeah, right? I went back like for all my sins. But then it was one of them situations where the summer had finished. So
yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Shout out to Carl and that for all the Irie guys as well. And I had a Saturday residency in Stevenage at a place called Flavor. So I was doing that every Saturday and the Ivory was every Thursday. So I was ticking over. I wasn't necessarily making big money, but it was paying the bills basically and keeping my head above water with those two residencies. And then fast forward a little bit, it came to, I don't know if you remember that, but the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, man.
And so my mate phoned me up. He's like, Steve, we've got to go out to Vegas for the Mayweather-Pacquiao, man. It's like arguably one of the biggest, it was the biggest fight ever at the time. I don't know if a few of the others have took over that, you know, since, but
yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, mate, I ain't got the money to go out to Vegas and do that. And he was like, you know what, Steve, I'll pay for you. Just pay me back. Like when I didn't even want to do it, but then I was just like, do you know what? Yeah, all right, let's go. I didn't know how I was going to pay him back, but I knew in the back of my head I would pay him back one day. And then, so me and my mate Ricky went out there. Shout out to Ricky, by the way, one of my good friends. And so we went out to Vegas. And then as soon as I touched down, it was like, wow. Like, this is
the
me.
Lights, the yeah. glitz, the glamour.
It was everything bro. Honestly. And it was a real like setback for me. Cause I was thinking, wow, this, I take back. So I was taken back by the lights and the size of the venues. And cause I was only used to really doing smaller venues in my area and in Essex and London and stuff.
Also, as a businessman, an opportunity is there for so many things in Vegas.
Yeah.
So
it was like that, bro. And then, I was looking for the opportunity whilst I was out there. But the strange thing is, without rambling too much on, like 20 years prior to that, when I just started out doing events, people were like, oh, where's this going to go though, Steve? Like, where do you see yourself in like 10 years or whatever? And at the time I just said to him, do you know what? Hopefully I'll build it up and I'll be running bigger events or festivals in the UK.
Yeah.
Or I'll end up somewhere like Las Vegas. So it was like 20 years beforehand, I was putting it out into the atmosphere without any knowledge of knowing how it's going to happen.
So people already were asking you way before.
Yeah.
Wow.
They were asking me where do I see my future?
Yeah.
Basically. And like I finished university, started working I was a category analyst, like crunching numbers basically.
Yeah.
And it just weren't for me, Bunny. So like I made the decision after working there for about 5 or 6 months that, you know, if I can do something I enjoy and pay the bills, then I'd rather do that than do a job where I go into work hating it every day. So I took the plunge, and that was when I was probably about 24, 25. We won't go into how old I am at the minute. They were saying that then, and I got to Vegas, and I didn't even remember saying that all them years ago. But it weren't until I got back and I had time to digest it. I was like, shit, I actually said about working in Vegas as well. Wow. So anyway, me and Ricky are out there poolside. And I also said to him, mate, this is me. Like, this is where I need to be. This is what I need to be. I need to do events in Vegas somehow. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I need to be out here. And to be fair to him, he didn't say, oh, mate, you're dreaming, like nothing like that. He was just like, do you know what, Steve? I could see you doing it, mate.
He was on board.
Obviously, he's got his own career and he's doing his own stuff, but he could see the vision of where my head was at and where it was going. So, we went to Encore Beach Club for the first time, had a mad day there, and then went to the Pacquiao and Mayweather fight. Me and him was hanging. I remember actually, I'll tell you what happened. This is mad, right?
Here we go. This is the first Vegas story.
Yeah, no, because I don't know if I've told you this, bro. Yeah. So basically we got back to the hotel from Encore Beach Club. Mm. Both of us were hammered. Yeah, like we weren't.
Where were
even
you staying, if you remember?
We was at the Mandarin Oriental at the time.
Oh, wow.
So that's the Waldorf Astoria now.
Yeah, as I say, that's changed.
We went back to the Mandarin Oriental, I think. Yeah, so we didn't have it. I don't think we had tickets. Like, from what I can remember, I think Ricky was, so we booked our flight and hotel.
Yeah.
And we went out there. We didn't have an itinerary plan. And we were hunting for tickets for the fight.
Was there not promoters on the street or anything promoting the fight? Was it in MGM Grand, I imagine?
I think, to be honest, it was the reception mentioned it to us. They were we can get them if you need them, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, Rick being Rick, he's gone and bought the tickets for us to the fight. Nice. Bearing in mind, me and him are like not even really speaking, right. We were mumbling our words. Yeah. We were so fucked, yeah. We were like slurring at the reception or whatever else. And then what happened? And then, yeah, Rick called on a limo for us to take us to the fight as well.
Nice.
So we've gone up. I remember I had this like cream suit on, yeah? And like, I was looking pretty fresh from what I can remember. Do you know, I'll try and get some photos so we can put it up of me and him in the limo on the way to the Pacquiao fight. So anyway, we got there, we got in, everything else. Because I was tipsy, you know what it's like when you've had a few drinks and that, you're just like, you're just fearless.
Yeah.
So I just... I looked around, I thought, fucking hell, there's quite a lot of seats down right by the ring. Like, as in a few, rows back. So I just thought, fuck it. And I just walked down like all the way to as far as I could go towards the ring.
Act like you belong, right?
Yeah, act as if you belong there, bro. So then, I've got right to the front and I've managed to sit down and I'm like three rows from the front of that fight. Mm. Not bearing in mind, I knew all my friends and family that were watching it back home because it's like it was massive. I don't know if you remember, but everyone was watching that fight. And I remember looking behind me, I looked like that, and then there was Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill. Mm. I don't know, you obviously know Meek Mill's a big rapper. And they were sitting behind me. So I was thinking, shit, if I'm here, how much are the seats, you know what I'm saying? So, but then I started feeling a bit guilty because obviously me and Rick come out there together.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to have to go back or try and get him down. And then, man. So that was a big eye opener for me because I've seen these like two big, like world famous stars behind me.
Literally.
And
just
I was just
there.
Plotted up. And I think Vegas is mental.
Like I said earlier, opportunity, right?
Yeah, that's it. I saw the opportunity of being front row.
Yeah.
So that just added to the experience really. And then I went back. I actually ended up falling asleep because it weren't the greatest fight from what I can remember. I actually fell asleep at the fight. I remember Rick kept on like elbowing me. And then we got back to England and then... this is the other thing about manifesting stuff, yeah? Mm. Because I thought this is me, I just like visioned myself being out there and working there. So it was like, I think it was a case of the sort of atmosphere making it happen for me because a friend of a friend that I met in Ibiza, said like, oh, Steve, I see you was out in Vegas and that. My friend's working out there. He needs someone to come and work with him.
Wow.
So I ended up meeting with him. We thrashed out a deal. So I went to Vegas and then we were working together, looking after a lot of high profile footballers at the time. And this is when The Only Way Is Essex was quite big as well. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like Towie was big. So he's looking after a few of the guys off there. And then it didn't last long because you know what it's like sometimes, like in business, you, like sometimes in a partnership, you both see things going a different way or you'd clash on quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, like we made the decision. Well, I made the decision to do my own thing.
Okay.
Because we just weren't reading from the same hymn sheet.
Yeah, that happens.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it was, yeah, there's without going into too much detail, there was stuff being done that I wasn't totally agreeing with and whatever. And yeah, and then from then, that was, you know, that was 10 years ago, I set up VIP Vegas UK.
I love the name as well.
Yeah, the reason I thought like what would work well, and the thing is, because it's a VIP service, like concierge service, it's in Las Vegas, but it's predominantly for people from the United Kingdom, from the UK. It was like, let's give that a go because it's exactly what it says. Doesn't mean to say we don't service other clients elsewhere.
Course. And it's awesome, but that's what you want as well. If you're going out there for your birthday or you're going out there for your stag or your hen do,
yeah,
you want to go and have that VIP experience. When you go out to Vegas, it comes back with a story rather than you just, I don't know, going for general admission or, do you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. So, so then, yeah, I mean, that's how it all started really. And then since then, we've looked after thousands of groups. You know, when I say groups, I mean sort of like stag do's, hen do's, corporate clients, a lot of athletes. We look after a lot of TV personalities and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that was the changing point for me, really. And then I just stuck at it, built up the social media accounts, you know, added to the websites. And then here we are today, man.
It's like, beautiful. Honestly, when we first ever met up and I heard a little bit of the background and just saw how the company was doing, I was amazed.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to be on board.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you on board, Bryony, man, because I don't think this podcast would be happening if it wasn't for you. And I like the fact that how you sort of like, you add value, you give your opinion on stuff, you come up with new ideas.
I've always had to try and think of different ideas because you had such a established social media following.
Yeah.
That in order for
VIP Vegas UK for everyone that's watching, yeah, follow us up, Instagram, TikTok,
download our Facebook,
new apps there as well. We're updating that at the moment with a new schedule. Sorry to cut you
off. That's okay.
There,
yeah, we'll put all the links in the description below. Make sure you drop them a follow.
Yeah. Sorry, mate. Go on, carry on.
But yeah. The hardest part for me was the fact that one, I'd come on board, I'd say mid pandemic, so 2021, where obviously people weren't traveling at the minute. So in order for me to add value to you, I was thinking, well, how can I be a host once we're out there and do these things and promote on my page that this is what I'm going to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest issue that you have is when you're already having an established page, putting the posts of Vegas stuff and content and all that. It's similar to how the promoters will also put on their pages, even though they work for the venue.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so much of a thing back then. So as much as someone like myself, when I was very, very new to social media, I had like 35 followers. So I was completely brand new to the game. So when you got someone DMing you saying, oh, I see that you're going to Vegas. Do you need any help? I can hook you up, blah, blah, blah. People ain't going to respond to 35 followers.
Yeah.
Compared to on the VIP Vegas UK's official page, if they're gonna see a message from them, or
especially
if they
with a lot of stuff that's online, like with these a lot of scams online
scams,
and stuff.
So exactly. People,
if you see an account that's only got a small number of followers, a lot of the time you think, is this genuine? Is this person real? Whatever. So you can't blame them in a sense.
Exactly, and I knew that from being on this journey and learning this experience. I then obviously came out to Vegas to do hosting.
Yeah.
If you remember that.
I do, mate. And you actually give it a good go, to be fair to you.
I appreciate that you
trusted
me. I
had some good feedback from some groups that said, yeah, Bryony's a top guy. Like, he looked after us really well. And for context, I don't think we've gone into what we actually do. All right, we haven't mentioned that yet, have we?
If we've not, then we'll mention it now.
Yeah, I think we better, mate, because otherwise, so people have got an understanding of who we are and what we're about and, you know, how the company was formed, but I don't think they know exactly yet what okay. we do. So do you want to touch on yeah. that or should I go for it?
So, yeah, I'll go off from the bat of what VIP yeah. Vegas UK covers. We yeah. are a concierge service that facilitates people that come from the UK to Vegas. Obviously, we can be more global as well. If you're not from the UK, you can still book through us. We facilitate all your pool party and VIP table needs at a nightclub. We'll get you to skip the queues. You don't have to worry about any of that. You can pay your deposit. You can look at the packages. On top of that, then we have added entertainment. So we'll have helicopter tours, gun ranges, limo transfers, strip clubs, if that's your thing.
Yeah, well, it might work for the stag dudes. Yeah, I mean, especially after the nightclubs, it's one of them things where people generally don't want the party to end, do they? So the strip clubs is usually an add-on.
But that's like the basis of what we cover. We love it.
Yeah, boy. Not so much the gambling either.
No, gambling's such a small part of it. I mean, obviously we can go into a little bit of my story, but when people ask me about Vegas, it seems like they immediately jump to the gambling. And I'm like, my friend, it's such a small yeah, part. Yeah,
it is a small part, but I mean, it's like great. I've not, you know, we look after a lot of gamblers.
Of course. It's always going to be an element of Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, obviously this will be kind of slightly off topic, but other places now, like i.e. Dubai, have got gambling licenses. So obviously they've got the pool parties and the nightclubs as well. So yeah. over the next sort of year or two, it's going to be a change in dynamic on where gamblers go. I know Macau's a big place, for gambling, but I think it might be the biggest. We'll have to look into that, but I think it might be the biggest place for gambling, Macau, at the minute.
Well, the first time I ever went to Vegas, I couldn't even gamble.
Oh, right.
I was 20 years old back in 2013. Wow, that's a while away. I couldn't even gamble. So I couldn't even, I was 20 years old, so I couldn't drink, couldn't gamble.
Yeah.
I touched down into Vegas and thinking, well, what am I going to do? You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, you should have done, Brunty. You should have got a fake ID, mate, before you got there.
McLovin.
Then it would have been sweet. Yeah, you could have done the whole McLovin thing.
I fell in love with the city due to the fact that I couldn't do any of these things that obviously you facilitate. So yeah. I had to find the entertainment in the shows, in the restaurants, the glitz and glamour, the hotel, and obviously just being around with good company. But I knew then, when I'd gone to Vegas for the first time ever, I was only there for 4 nights, that I wanted to go back there. And when I did go back there, and then I was 22 when I returned, I was able to then do all of those things. I went there for 10 nights.
Have a few drinks and that as well, yeah.
Fell in love with it, yeah. But I've been back ever since.
Yeah, but I think like, because obviously I don't think I've met someone who's loves Vegas as much as you, Brunty. Honestly don't think, I've met a lot of people and I've met, you know, from all walks of life. But I think you like head and shoulders above the rest on how much you love Vegas. And like I said before, like it could have been like you fell in love with the place when you first went. It's because you wasn't blinded by the lights with the drinking and that sort of culture. So you had time to digest it and take the whole place in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas most people, like I said before, like they go to Vegas as sort of like a smash and grab, go there, drink as much as you can, and it sort of all blurs into one. So you don't really get a chance to see it and understand it as much as what you probably did on going there sober.
Catching that Vegas bug when you're sober compared to other people that have gone, it becomes an expensive hobby, expensive habit, but there's now, just nowhere else like it. As much as we talk about Dubai and Macau and stuff, it's just, to give a little bit of a statistic, do you know how many people visited in Las Vegas in 2023, actually? Sorry, so we've just gone into,
I like this though. This is the thing. Brunty's the facts and figures guy, everyone. So
I do it.
Yeah, he's a fact. But I tell you what, I don't know that figure, but there's one figure I do know, and that's New Year's Eve just gone, which as this podcast is being filmed was about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So 3 weeks ago, New Year's Eve, 400,000 people embarked on Vegas for that one night. So if you see pictures of the strip, it was literally wall to wall, chock-a-block.
It's mad on New Year's Eve, right? It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But yeah, back to that stat.
Is it me or was it cold in here, bro?
It's a little bit. I mean, I was a little bit warm earlier from the heater.
You know, it's gone from like, it's like the two extremes. I'm lucky I put like a little jumper on underneath.
It's all cool, but yeah.
Keep me rolling, but yeah.
Sorry, so the...
We'll have to get Stu. Stu, you there, mate? Yes, go on, sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. Bro. I was just going to say that in 2023, 59 million people visited Vegas.
Wow. That's globally, yeah?
Globally.
Yeah,
59 million people were in and out of that airport traffic. So if you think there's 52 weeks in a year, it's over a million people of traffic.
That's not far off. Like, I think, what's the population of England? About 80 million now, isn't it? 85 or
something like that. Yeah.
So yeah, it's not far off the whole population of the UK, is it?
And obviously people all around the world go there, and some people only go for their little short trips because they'll go to other states.
Yeah.
But the fact that that many people go there, and the amount of people that I've gone to Vegas with personally, without any sort of business side of it, have always then returned. They've either come back with me, or they've gone back with their partner, with their friend, with whoever.
Yeah.
It just speaks volumes about the city.
Yeah, it does. And it's always changing. It's hard to keep up to date with what's going on. I mean,
it changes so fast. In fact, with me and Steve doing this podcast, we've had to look at some of the current trends, which we'll talk about in a minute in the current news. We've been feeding into each other all of the newest stuff that's been going on.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it will update and it'll be like, oh, that's just changed. I've just noticed that on Instagram, and oh, this has now happened, and it's just constantly changing.
Yeah. But that, in a way, that's what I like about the place as well.
Yeah.
Because like you can go there for a lot of, I would say most people go for sort of like 5 days to a week.
Yeah.
But you can go there like I've done, 6 months at a time, and I've done 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, whatever. But I can go back the following year and there still be a load of new stuff to do. So I do like that side of it. The fact that it's always, evolving and getting better and improving.
Just to actually quickly touch on before we move on to the current news of Vegas.
Yeah.
6 months out in Vegas. How do you last? What's going through your mind?
In all honesty, because I was with my missus, Abby, and she sort of kept me, because you can't obviously do the Vegas life for 6 months.
I need like 2-3 days when I'm back in the UK just to be like recover.
Yeah. So it was like that. But this was in the early state. This was in the early days. And big shout out to John Drewby, by the way, I was on the verge of basically running out of money and having to go home. So he put me up in his house. He still charged me though. But
I was going to say generous.
But he's now really high up in Encore and the Wynn.
Oh, is he?
So for those that know the Encore and Wynn, it's a really plush hotel and beach club on the strip. They've got Excess nightclub in there as well. And I think when Drewby took me into and said I can stay at his house, he was like a host manager, I think, at the time. But now
he's a casino host or just in the hotel?
No, the Encore Beach Club.
Oh,
so
Encore
he was
Club,
like managing the host there. And then now he's gone clear. So fair play, Drewby, man. If it weren't for you, I don't think the VIP Vegas UK dream would have evolved.
Wow. Shout out to him.
Yeah. So, and at the time, coming back to what I was saying about the 6 months when we stayed there, like me and Abby, where Drewby's is, it was off the strip. So we got to have we got to appreciate what normal Vegas life is like.
Locals. Yeah.
Yeah. What the local, what they experience and how they, cause you'll be surprised that a lot of the locals don't even, go on the strip.
No. Apart from, like I say, some of the YouTubers that I know, most of them, they avoid the strip like the plague. Do you know what I mean? They don't like it. They have their little intricate spots off strip. There's a couple of things on like Fremont Street. They might go down a couple of the bars, but apart from that, they don't like the traffic. They don't like, we can do a whole episode on the
bad. Yeah, I think we should do it. I think we should speak to, we'll get a few people on from Vegas. They can give their spin on it. We'll get a few locals on here as well, which will be quite cool. Mm. And obviously we can dial in or whatever. But what I was going to say was, I got to appreciate what the normal life was like, but then still go onto the strip for like 2 or 3 days of the week to sort of meet clients and let my hair down. And
you do what you needed to do and then bounce back, chill,
yeah,
if you need to pick up the pace again.
Yeah, but obviously if I wasn't with my missus at the time, I probably would have done 5-6 days in a week and then one day to recover. But yeah, so it worked out quite well, really. And then on the other side of that was she looked after a lot of the like girl groups, like the Hindus and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
And then I looked after the stags and a lot of the corporate clients and you know, the footballers and stuff that are coming out. So it was quite a good dynamic, really. And then, yeah, so that's, you know, 6 months, that's how I managed to get through it. But then now I don't really need to go out there, you know, longer than, I like to go out for usually May and then half of June. And then it starts getting a bit too hot. So I have to like tap out, but.
You have other places you bounce across to and other, you know, as much as, and I know that myself as well, as much as I love Vegas, there's so many other places out. I've visited, you know, loads of countries in Europe. I've been to Bali. I've been in other areas around the world as well. But I think the longest I'd gone out into Vegas for was currently that 10 nights. But then when I go away this year, it's going to be for a lot longer.
Yeah.
But let's have a little bit of a transcend into the news then. And I'm just going to get my phone out like a professional. So, are you much of a golfer, Steve? I don't know if I've ever asked you this.
Do you know what, mate? It's really weird you say that, yeah, because I've been looking at some, like, well, I say some. I've been looking at a house that's actually positioned right next to a golf course.
No way.
So me and my missus, we're talking about potentially selling the house we're in a minute and moving there. So then obviously I'll take it up pretty, because it's on my fucking back, that'd you know what I mean? Sick. Right next to me. So it'd be like my back garden sort of thing.
Well, the reason I ask is due to the fact that Swing has opened. It's probably old news now, but I still think it's current news for those who are in the UK. But Swing has opened in November. It's like a mini golf, crazy golf sort of area.
Okay. Do you know whereabouts that one is?
That's in Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay, yeah.
And it's 21 and over only, unfortunately, for those of you who have family.
So this is the part, guys, where we give you some value. If you're going out to Vegas and you're into golf, there's a new Swing. Is that like a pitch and putt, or is that like a mini golf sort of thing, or is
it's a bit of every, yeah, it's like a mini golf, more sort of that.
Okay, so yeah,
you've got crazy golf,
really good. Yeah, there's another one, actually a new one that's opened as well. I went to
Atomic Golf.
Yeah. No, but that's like Top Golf, so yeah, it's like similar, a driving range sort of thing.
But inside Atomic Golf as well, they also have a mini golf course.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I know these things.
Yeah, but I'm going to put, this is thing you didn't know, because there's another one that opened. I went to it, but I can't think of the name of it now. I know that Tiger Woods has got something to do with it.
Oh, right. There is a completely new
one. And I went there.
It's an outdoors one, isn't it? There's an outdoor
one. Yeah, it's an outdoor
area.
One, I forgot the name. What's it called now? No.
It'll have to come back to us for another episode, I think.
Yeah, we're going to have to throw that in there. Or what we'll do is we'll put the name of it somewhere below. So there's that one. But then you've got the Top Golf, and then Atomic Golf is very similar.
Yeah.
So, which is at the other end of the strip, just past the Sphere.
Stratosphere,
yeah, that's it. Sorry, yeah. Cool.
Next thing I was going to say, again, because it's always constantly changing, and we did put this on the VIP Vegas story actually the other day, the Voodoo Bar Lounge is reopened in the Rio Hotel.
Yeah, so that one, I don't know if you ever went to that, bro, but
I did, back in 2015, I want to say.
Yeah.
We got to go there.
It was class.
Ghost Bar and Voodoo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the top two, Ghost Palm Bar, and Rio.
That's it, yeah. So Ghost Bar's at the top of the Palms, but it closed and it got reopened to something else, but then they closed it and then opened it back as Ghost Bar. But yeah, the Voodoo Lounge, you remember they used to have, like, the Vegas locals and you know, people that are veterans to go in, they'll know that about the... what's it called? The zip line.
I knew exactly what you were trying to say.
Mate,
zip line.
That was sick.
To go between.
So it went from, went from the Voodoo Lounge to the hotel.
Yeah.
I don't think it went back. I think it was just one way.
Yeah. So you could party on one rooftop.
Yeah. You could only swing down like the other way. So hopefully that's still there, but I didn't see it when the promo came.
Like I said, this was literally about 2 days ago I'd got this news.
Okay.
Another one that was very recent was that Circus apparently is for sale. I didn't even know that until it popped up on my feed on like a local
Vegas news channel. Heard that. I've heard that. That's been through the grapevine for a while.
Have you ever been in Circus?
I've been in there, bro.
You've been inside there.
It's very, it's it needs a revamp. It's had its time. It's decaying and it's just, yeah. See, no disrespect to the owners and stuff, but course, I mean, yeah, no, with the standard on the rest of the strip, they need to up their game. And if it's a situation where it needs to be sold, a bit like Fontainebleau, how that come about, then so be it.
See, because the strip is so big, it's 4 miles long. There's some hotels and things that I've still not seen, even though I've been going there for over 10 years. Mm. And in Circus, I'd only seen through videos on YouTube. I'm a bit of a saddo. I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to this stuff.
Mate, you on everything. I
just
swear.
Do you know what I mean? I'll walk tour.
I'll be on some random. I'll be on like the VIP Vegas Instagram, and I'll go through and then there'll be like a picture comes up or a video comes up and I'll look down and it'll be like Brunty Vegas liked it. Brunty Vegas. Mate, honestly, you're relentless when it comes to that. Like it's funny though, but it's good because it's a sign that you're enthusiastic and not just that, but you're passionate about it. And they're the sort of people that, everyone wants involved in their businesses. So
you like what you like, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing I was going to say is Delano Tower is now going to be a W Hotel. And for most people around the UK would know what a W Hotel is.
Yeah, W Hotel, sick. I've always liked the Delano. Do you ever go to the Skyfall Lounge?
Yeah.
Skyfall Lounge was the bollocks. It was really nice. Yeah, like, and just to go there before a night out, it was perfect. Go on, you got a story for us.
Me and my best friend, we met a couple of girls. This is when he was single and I was at the time. But we'd snuck into a private party. We'd met some girls on a previous night in Omnia.
Yeah.
And we were... literally were speaking to him saying, oh, you're out here for a week, we're out here for a week, we may as well just, whatever activities we're doing, we could just hang out.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, oh, let's go to the Skyfall Lounge. That's what the girl said to us, sorry. So we're like, yeah, we'll come along. And then they go, oh, it's a private function. So they came and made sure that they could get us into the private function. And they were like, are you a part of the party? We're like, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just looking over
it's
the
like,
strip.
It happens like that quite a lot. Yeah. And there's a lot of like secret parties that go on. That's another thing as well, like for the viewers, it's like, obviously booking trips with us and stuff like that, you get to access to the secret parties and certain things you wouldn't know about in Vegas. So that's just another thing. But as you know, Brunny, you've experienced that yourself, like going through, not just VIP lines, but VIP entrances and stuff like that as well, which a lot of people wouldn't know about.
That's it. It's part of the name.
Yeah.
The final little bit of news then I was going to say is the fact that the Elon Cybertruck crashed into the Trump Tower.
Oh, right. Yeah. I still think
Trump's
that.
Back in power now and there's obviously conspiracies. Yeah. Being like, did Elon just get some crazy guy to crash it on fire?
Because it could be a publicity thing to, the way Elon Musk works is he's very out of the box. So it wouldn't surprise me. Mm. And he lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
Or he's probably got places all over the gap. Yeah. But I know that quite a few years ago, before the Cybertrucks come out, obviously he was one of the first to have one. One of my clients actually saw him on the A15, I think it was, one of them anyway, but Elon Musk was just casually rolling around in a Cybertruck before they were released. So he's known to be in and around that area quite a lot.
Wow. To finish this all up then, do you want to tell everybody about our little giveaway and then I'll touch on the merch and we'll wrap this up?
Yeah. So the giveaway is not actually live yet, but we are doing a holiday giveaway to Vegas for subscribers and also for followers on our social media. So it's mainly on the Instagram it's going to be released. I don't want to set an exact date yet just because it might set back a bit, but when it does get released, we'll let you know on here, but keep an eye out, follow us, VIP Vegas UK. So just stay tuned.
Indeed.
And then what else we got to cover?
I was going to just say about our merchandise, of some of you may or may not seen that we've got.
Come on.
Some VIP Vegas mugs.
Cute, man.
There's my camera.
VIP Vegas, we need a close up on that. But yeah, these are going to be added to it as well. By the way, guys, so Brunty not only thought of the podcast idea and getting everything together on this, well, obviously the audience as well and like the following, but also he thought of the merchandise stuff, so he's pretty much heading up that moving forward.
So these will be our t-shirts,
so we've got a few of them. I don't know if you can get yet. Lovely.
So
what
effectively
saying price point on those, Brunty?
Oh, I'm sure we'll have to have a discussion about it, but these are going to be really good quality t-shirts as well.
Yeah.
Can't even put them back in my bag now. Sorry. But yeah, they're 95% cotton and 5% elastane. So I made sure that I went for a premium quality t-shirt because okay. we're VIP, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, we're going to be getting some movement on the mugs and the t-shirts, probably some shot glasses as it's Vegas.
Oh, mate, 100%. You know what I mean? Definitely shot glasses. Maybe some sort of like bottle openers, maybe. Because obviously yeah. that's a good handy thing to have.
This is it.
Yeah, what else could we think of? But either way, look out for that, guys. We've got merchandise coming. Obviously, this is the first episode, so there's a lot more to come that we don't want to let out the bag just yet. So there's going to be merchandise to give away. We're going to be touching on certain topics. So if you could send us, you know, things to talk about or stories that you've got for us, that would be great. What else are we thinking, bro?
Yeah, so I think you pretty much covered it. So I really do appreciate everybody for watching right to the end of the first episode of the VIP Vegas podcast.
I think that's about it then, bro, for episode one, would you reckon?
I think that's a wrap. Perfect.
Cool.
Thank you, everybody.
See you later, guys. Take it easy, yeah? See you soon.